afternoon or evening, listeners and followers of Ufahamu Africa and the Monkey Cage. Welcome to another segment from the African Politics Summer Reading Spectacular, a series of new books that speak to politics in Africa. My name is Amita Maklo, an anthropologist at Cornell University working with the Ufahamu Africa team. Remember, you can always read these reviews on the Monkey Cage's website, and for our first-time listeners, the Monkey Cage is a blog on everything politics and political science at the Washington Post. Thank you again for tuning in. Now let's talk politics. Laura C. writes this review and she tells us that Tanzania's Informal Economy, the book, offers a rare glimpse at the dynamics of African street markets. This book, she says, challenges much of what scholars assume about kinship, social networks, trust, and solidarity. Every January, she leaves the cold and snow of Maine winters for a short-time study abroad program through a collaborative course with a community in Masindi District. She takes with her a group of 10 students to Uganda with aims to challenge the ways that students think about development. Little did she know that the students on the 2019 trip would learn more from a scene that played out on the streets in the capital city, Kampala, than they did from most of their carefully planned activities and meetings. They were waiting on their bus for some students to purchase Uganda Crane soccer jerseys in Kampala's busy downtown shopping area, next to an area where dozens of street vendors spread out their wares for sale on plastic tarps. Their driver, Patrick, who normally took advantage of such times to rest, yelled, "Look, they're coming." Suddenly, all of the street vendors seemingly knowing what to do with no one telling them began gathering up their goods. Over the next 10 minutes, all the clothing, linens, shoes, belts, cookware, and so much more that had been carefully laid out for sale were wrapped into those tarps and hidden under the bridge that crossed a large drainage dip. Vendors worked together to move the goods quickly. They had clearly done this before. What was happening? Patrick explained that their colleagues further up the road had given the alert that enforcement agency officials were coming. These officials, charged with ensuring that vendors were all operating with licenses, would arrest anyone caught selling without one. All of the vendors we saw gathering their goods did not have one and were therefore doing their jobs on the margins of the law. To be arrested for illegal selling was a nightmare. The only way out was to bribe the officials or the police, an insurmountable barrier for a vendor who could not afford the price of a license in the first place. So a system evolved by which informal vendors protected one another through WhatsApp messages, shouts, and hand signals. Sure enough, minutes later, when the authorities arrived on foot and by truck, we saw the two unfortunate souls they had taken into custody, but none of the sellers by us, now empty-handed and leaning casually against the bridge railing, were picked up. In reading Alex Malifaki's brilliant new book later on street vendors in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, Laura couldn't help but think about that incident. His book, Tanzania's Informal Economy, The Micropolitics of Street Vending, is a fascinating and thoughtful ethnography of shoe vendors. All of these vendors are members of the Yao ethnic group, also known as the Wayao, who migrated to the city in search of a better life. They arrived to learn that life in Tanzania's capital will be as precarious as the rural lives they left behind. Malifaki sets out to understand how Wayao vendors understood their identities and places in the city, their community, and themselves. Because they are all related through the kinship networks of their ethnic group, he expected to find that Wayao vendors would have a strong sense of obligation to one another, but those relationships would be challenged by the competition within the group for scarce customers and sales. Instead, he found that the vendors' sense of competition was tempered by the fact that while their relationships had a high degree of continuity, that is, they lasted a long time and remained essentially the same over that time, that continuity actually made their relationships less stable. Vendors felt very alone in their efforts to make money and survive, even as they have to work together to figure out everything from the latest trends and styles their customers want, to price shifts, to appropriate slangs used in city markets, to understanding specific locations to sell. Wayao vendors are both dependent on and limited by their kinship ties. As Malefakis writes, they felt stuck in a kind of gridlock, incapable of making it their own, yet rejecting the idea of depending on one another. Malefakis explores these dynamics through several lenses, including witchcraft. He sees this as a marker of distrust. When one vendor did significantly better than his peers, he might be accused of engaging in sorcery. Jealousy and suspicion drove these behaviors, but a person could not leave the kinship group. Vendors can be dependent upon people they do not trust but cannot break off relationships with them. Their very survival depends on the knowledge and skills they share with one another every day. Malefakis also offers a detailed accounting of the spaces Wayao vendors inhabit in Dar es Salaam. Chapter 4, which traces their route through the massive Karume market where they buy the goods they will then sell on the streets, is a highlight. The knowledge vendors must have to ensure that they will pick the items their customers will buy, to know what is and is not a fair price, and to understand the quality and construction of specific shoes is constantly changing. Laura tells us that Tanzania's informal economy, the book, in fact, challenges much of what scholars assume about kinship, social networks, trust, and solidarity. It shows how street vendors, far from being failures who can't get a real job, are sophisticated entrepreneurs with broad knowledge bases and complicated relationships with their colleagues. It is an outstanding read and one well worth our time, she says. Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoy this review. Remember, you can access these reviews on the Monkey Cage's website, and do not forget to follow the Ufahamu podcast and the Monkey Cage on social media. I am Amita Maklo. Have a fantastic rest of your day.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Ufahamu Africa. You can find more episodes, show notes, and transcripts on our website, ufahamuafrica.com. This podcast is produced and managed by Megan DeMint, with help from production assistants Jack Kubinek, Chukwu Fanaya Ikechukwu, and Manuel Tavpet. Our non-resident podcast fellows are Chidu Nyaruwata, Wanjiku Ngugi, Sama Fazi, Gretchen Walsh, and Soinata Lebo. We are generously supported by the Carnegie Corporation of New York and receive research assistance from Cornell University and the University of California, Riverside. Our music is courtesy of Kevin McLeod. Until next week, Safiri Salama.